Welcome to our Sunday School class this morning. It's always an encouragement to see visitors among us. We welcome you. Trust the Lord will bless you as you worship with us today and as we seek to see Christ honored in His church. For Sunday School now, for some time, we've been making our way through Psalm 119. That's been a rather interesting project. We've taken it bit at a time through the years, not all at once. But last Sunday we began looking at verse 157. Back to verse 30. Let's go back to verse 30. And then we will look at verse 157. So verse 30. I have chosen thy faithful way. I have placed thine ordinances before me. That's interesting. Keep that in mind. I cleave to thy testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of thy commandments, for thou wilt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Now notice very carefully his words. And I shall observe it to the end. Look at those three little words. To the end. Think about that. To the end. What does that mean? What did it mean for David? What does it mean for you? What lies between you this morning and the end? What trials and tribulations? What spiritual battles will we fought? Now, look at verse 157. Because here we see a little bit about what was involved when, or what anticipated, David anticipated and experienced. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries. Look carefully, yet I do not turn aside from thy testimonies. That's, again, an expression of David's determined perseverance. And I want to make it very clear this morning that perseverance for you and you and you and me is going to take a great deal of determination, probably a lot more than you realize, and I realize as we are here together this morning, what happens Monday and next week and next year, if God tarries and allows us to live. And yet, we can be determined and purposed, come what may. Whatever that is, God's grace is sufficient. He will see us through it. But there's that underlying determination. I'm committed. Young men who joined the army. There was a young man that came into the bookstore several years ago. I sensed he was troubled. I engaged him in conversation. And we had a little table there in the bookstore. I said, let's sit down here, let's talk. I said, what's going on in your life? And he spilled his guts. of battles that he was going through. Raised in a Christian home, his father became addicted to over-the-counter drugs, became mentally unbalanced, engaged in frequent arguments with this young man, although the young man was raised in a Christian home, that is, and went to a Christian school. And it ended up, the father threw him out of the house. Put his stuff on the porch and said, don't come back. And tears began to stream down his cheeks. Well, he also told me that he had signed up to join the Air Force. I said, are you running from your problems? He said, no, sir. I've always wanted to be in the military. That's good. He finished his training, well, that is, whatever the requirements were. In fact, I was the one who took him to the recruiting office the day that he shipped out. Went to San Angelo, did his basic training. I went down one weekend and spent a couple of days with him and took him out to eat. And, went through some grueling training like you wouldn't believe to become a fireman in the Air Force. I mean, grueling training. Finished his training, top grades, was assigned to Virginia. He did a couple of overseas, did tour of duty, and one of which there was some fighting going on and a shell exploded over the barracks where he was, and the concussion damaged his brain. He's 95% disabled. But I say that because when he sat in my bookstore and we had a conversation, and many thereafter, little did he know this and this and this were coming down the pike. What about David? What was going to come down the pike for him? We know, if you've read the Psalms, and you know the story of his life. But dear ones, I see that we need to learn from this to be committed regardless of the price. And I want to make it clear, we live in a day when there very well may be a price to pay. There's a popular teaching that says we're going to get out of here before it gets too hot. I don't see that in the scriptures. I see every possibility that we may very well face some difficult days of persecution before the return of our Lord. It could happen very easy. Are you willing? Are you ready? What does it mean to persevere? A lot of this is review. Some of you weren't here last week. But those whom God hath accepted in the beloved, effectually called and sanctified by his Spirit, and given the precious faith of his elect unto, can neither totally nor finally fall from the state of grace, but shall certainly persevere therein to the end and be eternally saved. The clear teaching of the scripture is that we must persevere to the end. Of course, the companion doctrine would be that of preservation, and that brings great comfort and great encouragement to us to know those truths as well. God has ordained various means of grace for us to help us persevere. His word. What did David say in the verses we read concerning his word? I cleave unto thy testimonies. It's the word of God that forms the sustenance by which I'm going to persevere. I look again at verse 157. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries. There's the what lies between here and the end. Yet, regardless, I do not turn aside from easy believism, evangelicalism. My testimonies. David says, I'm going to hang on there with every ounce of strength that I have. It's the word of God. And what's under attack in the day in which we're living? What's in the headlines? It's the word of God is under attack. They hate it. They despise it. And that's the world in which we're living. Well, I'm sure my congregation here gets tired of me saying, back when, but I have a right to say back when. Yes, I've lived a long, many years. And there is no way that I could adequately paint the picture of how different life was. Well, sin abounded and there were sinners and there were problems, yes. We didn't lock the front door of our house. There was no need to. In the 50s in my high school, the young ladies wore skirts down to their ankles. The boys dressed in their ROTC uniform, not with their pants hanging down almost on the ground. It was a different world, folks. But that's what can happen from the 50s to the day in which we're living here. It's an erosion, little by little, forfeiting, giving in, yielding. David said, I hold on to your testimonies. Why is this so important? Let me point out a few things to you. Number one, the Word of God will not be a means of grace unless there is a determined and fixed choice of the truth. I've chosen those words carefully. A fixed, determined choice of the truth. What does that involve? What does that mean? Well, let me just tell you this. A choice of the truth implies rejection of error. All of this smooth talk about, well, let's get along and let's have some dialogue and this pushing ecumenism. Who always comes out on the losing side? Always. Truth. It's a gimmick of getting rid of the truth. Slowly let it fade away and be replaced. Martin Luther? Did he tenaciously hold on to the truth in the face of death, in the midst of the Roman Empire? Here I stand. I can do no other. Do we? Now, how do we know the truth? Have you ever thought about that? Let me give you a clue. The way of truth is the way of holiness and righteousness. Two words, very important, which direct us in all of our duties towards God and man. And make this very certain in your mind. Any teaching that does not insist on the pursuit of holiness and a life of practical godliness is not based on scriptural truth. No way. Carnal Christian theory, it comes and goes. It sometimes dresses up in new clothes in disguise. But it's nothing and an excuse to be less than committed to the way God would have us live. Thomas Manton, a Puritan, said to have a holy life, and to have a holy rule and an unholy life is inconsistent. A Christian should be a lively transcript of that religion he professes. If the way be a way of truth, he must always set it before him and walk exactly. Not compromise, not watered down. Truth. That should affect every area of our life. Including your thought life. What about the thought life? You don't need to turn there. You can if you'd like. It's Philippians 4:8. But listen or turn as you choose. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lively, whatever is good repute, if there be any excellence, and if any thing worthy of praise, let your mind dwell upon these things. Bringing every thought into captivity. Well, that's our review. Rather lengthy, but I hope that helps our visitors and new ones to kind of get a grasp of where we've been and where we're going. To cleave to the testimonies, that's what David purposed to do, is to stick to it, regardless of what it may cost, to the end of your life. How was the beginning of your Christian life? What's happened since then? Wouldn't you say that you have even more reason to continue in the truth today than you did the day you were converted. That should be an impetus in us, driving us deeper into the Word of God, having close dealings with God through His Word. As time goes, as experience goes, and God brings you through those, we should cleave with David unto the testimonies of God. Have you not made many discoveries in God's Word? When it seems the light turns on, you say, wow, think about that. The reality of it grips you. Doesn't that give you more reason to be even more determined to press on in the things of God? And to realize that that just is the tip of the iceberg of what's there for us to explore and to know and to hang on to and to believe and to commit to and to feel the transforming power of the Word of God, a reality in your life and soul every day. Think of this. To turn away from the truth after having embraced it. Now, at this point, dear ones, I'm not talking only, or even specifically at this moment, of a dramatic overthrow and denial of the truth. There are those who have come to that point. But I'm talking about those little secret, insidious compromises that we make concerning issues in our life that don't measure up to God's standard. It's cutting the corner here a little bit, and here a little bit, and we begin to compromise instead of holding strictly to the demands of the Word of God. In any issues, whether it's what we might want to say minor or major, let me put it this way. Think carefully. To turn away from the truth after once having embraced it is, in essence, to say that you no longer believe it and that it is not worthy to be followed. That's serious and carries with it consequences. The writer of the Hebrews said, therefore, having the testimony, the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on, not back away. Not turn away, but let us press on. I've mentioned him before, and I'll mention him again, Andy Hamilton. Dear man of God, I'm presently serving the Lord in Burma. He's a rather well-built guy. And when he shakes your hand, you know he's shaking your hand. And he'll come up to you and shake your hand and say, press on, brother. press on. Perhaps there's more to that than we realize. An encouragement to press on. There's a passage in Peter. It's a warning passage, and we ought to take God's warnings seriously. 2 Peter 2:21. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment delivered to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, after washing, returns to wallowing in the mire. That's pretty graphic. But it's not even really an adequate description of what takes place when one has known the truth and turns away from it. There, dear ones, I'm telling you, there are consequences to be dealt with if a person does that. Not so long ago in preaching, I mentioned a young man that I had counseled with, actually, in the mission work out in West Dallas. He knew the truth. He had embraced the truth. But he got tangled up with a young girl who was not interested in the truth. And I pled with that young man. I begged him. I said, don't do it. And he looked at me. He said, I know what I'm doing, and I don't care. And he walked out. He was at a party. Somebody drove by and shot, crippled him temporarily. He had a friend of his put him in the back seat of a car with a rifle and drive by a party where this guy was who had shot him and shot the guy and killed him. This girl that he was interested in committed suicide. Vomit. Hog wallowing consequences. What are some cautions? There are many. Here's one. Beware of not becoming unduly discouraged by the pervasive presence of error. It's everywhere. Easy believism taking its toll on many. Catholicism, the list goes on. And we could say, we're being overwhelmed. Well, in a sense, it seems that way, but not really. Because God is a God of truth.
Amen.
And He will preserve us. And may we as individuals and as a church be determined that we would rather break than bend in a day when we're being pushed from every side to make compromises. Hold tight. We have already mentioned this one, I'll mention it again, and that is, don't back off in the face of persecution. Charles Bridges says, the minister faints under the cross. And to avoid it compromises the simplicity of the gospel. There's a timidity in acting out an unpopular doctrine, election. Doctrine of eternal punishment. The people cannot bear the full light. The sun, S-U-N, of righteousness is therefore exhibited under a mist, but dimly visible, shorn of its glowing beams. The strictness of the precepts is unpalatable. It must therefore be softened down, modified, and explained away. Charles Bridges? When did he live? Sounds like he's living in 2023. Nothing new. It was an issue then, it's an issue now. Never. Never. Back away. Let's bring it down to a more personal level. What about when the Word of God convicts you of your sin? Crosses your will. Listen carefully. The only way that a man can live comfortably with his sin is to reject the truth and embrace error. They go together. Reject the truth and embrace the error. What a serious thing it is for men to love sin more than they love the truth. Christ said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That means error binds. The truth that makes one free is the same truth that condemns the sins of men and cuts across stubborn wills. For truth to be a means of grace, there must be a deliberate choice of the truth, and there must also be a persevering in that truth. And as such, it becomes a means of grace. Means of grace. What is a means of grace? It's the way that God has chosen to minister grace to your soul. He doesn't deliver it by fittings. And unless one holds tenaciously to the truth, that truth will not be a conscious means of grace, to your soul. Well, the last one is this. Concerning David's determined perseverance, remember, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall serve it to the end. What is David saying? What is David praying? Teach me. Teach me. David's determined perseverance. Think of these words. I'll just share them with you. Psalm 25 and verse 4. Make me to know thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Psalm 27:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the level path because of my foes. Now, look at Psalm 119:33. Psalm 119, verse 33. Here it is. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Do you see a connection? What is the connection? Being taught of God and persevering. They go hand in hand. Being taught of God and persevering. That's what the Bible says. Taught of God? Yes. Taught of God. Being taught of God is when God opens your understanding and makes a truth real to you. It brings spiritual benefit to your life. Being taught of God means that God brings his truth to bear upon your soul in such a way that it results not only in mental ascent, but in a transformed life. And you walk away from your devotions, you walk out of this church a different person. And if somebody stopped you before you got in your car and said, what did you learn this morning? You would have an answer. It wouldn't be, may we be people who from our own personal time with God or our corporate worship, know what it is to take away something that's valuable to your soul. David said, I'm going to keep it to the end. Dear ones, what lies between you this morning and the grave? Let's pray. Our gracious God, we pray now that you will be merciful to us, your people, and challenge us, awaken us, write your truth on our hearts for our own spiritual good, for the honoring of Christ and his church, and for the extending of his kingdom here upon earth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.